Hey, it is great to have you here with us on CWC Dive Deep, where we take a deeper look into this past Sunday's message, seeking to grow in our faith and learn more about God. My name is Mike, and I'm the Family Life Pastor at CWC, filling in for Caleb Swartz, who oversees spiritual formation. It's great to be with you on your drive home, to work, in your small group, or wherever you podcast. It's a privilege to be here with Pastor Arlie. Hey, it's good to be with you, PA.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great, yeah. And yesterday, we began our series, Who Cares? A study on the minor prophet Malachi's writing and God's wake-up call through him. Yesterday's message focused on how God's love matters. And Pastor Arlie, you mentioned that while we wouldn't cover a lot of verses, we would get to cover a lot of depth. So just to start us off, what about yesterday's text and message did God have the most impact on you with?
As I was really preparing, I think I realized when I got fully into it, this could take a long time to get through. And then Pastor Ryan said, you know, I left some extra time in the service for your message. And I was like, that's awesome. That is awesome because it's exactly what I needed to do. Talking about some of the topics like predestination and election and trying to kind of talk about God's sovereignty and how we understand that, especially in our context as a, you know, a Wesleyan, and what would that look like and what does that mean? We can't deny that those are realities that, you know, Scripture talks about. And so how do we really relate to those? And so digging through that, honestly, like even in presentation, although I felt like I knew what I was going to present and I felt like I had an organized fashion and clarity when I was doing it, it was kind of after it was done, I was like, I hope that made sense because there was so much to it and I felt like I was moving through the process, but it's so much of a teaching tool that's not just like an inspirational tool.
Sure.
But a teaching tool. And when you're doing that, like you're just hoping that everybody is, it's going in.
Right, right.
Like I'm connecting with what you're saying. In fact, first thing I did at the end of the service is when I got in line with Sharon to shake hands with people, I said, did that make sense? And she said, yes, it did. And so I think probably thinking about that whole concept of Jacob and Esau was, it's just a powerful kind of thought. And I know that in times past, even from my own perspective, I'm not sure I always drew a real clear understanding of why that was fair.
Sure.
Do you know, in our minds? Because I think we all struggle with like, wow, that didn't seem fair. I think we all kind of struggle with those thoughts from time to time. So I think that was part of my own personal journey and working through that. I knew that I wanted to close with how much God loves us. And the fact that I don't think we can even slightly grasp how deep the love of God is for us and how he surrounds us and supports us and encourages us and loves us in spite of ourselves.
Yeah.
I just don't think we really, I don't think we get it as much as it's there. I've heard back from a few people that, you know, talked about that and how much they really felt God's love and how he's shown them that.
Yeah.
Because that was one of the questions I asked at the end. How has God loved you?
Yeah. And you asked to write down a couple like specific things. And that was a great exercise right there in the moment. Yeah.
And I've heard people have responded. Some people have responded back with, here's how God has loved me. And I'm just so encouraged when I see that because it really feels like, okay, we're able to make direct application to who God is and what he's done.
Yeah.
And not lose sight of it. So all of that combined, I just felt like there was a lot to think about.
And it was a powerful distinction that you brought to mind to say our world today really seeks after fairness, when in reality, for us as followers of Jesus, we need to really understand the distinction and difference between fairness as the world sees it, and justice as God owns that.
Sure.
And so anything to speak about in the difference and unique characteristics of the word and term fair and then God's justice.
Well, I think when we think about fairness, we want to reduce God to our picture.
Sure.
And to our perspective. And that's wrong. You know, the week before, talking about how incredibly vast and beyond our imagination is God in all nature and creation and everything that is around us. And so I think when we kind of go, that isn't fair, we think we should be judge and jury rather than God. And that's, we're not going to get that privilege. That doesn't come.
Yeah.
And so then when we have to put level on sovereignty on top of it to say, oh, like, you don't really have a choice in this. It's God's choice. But we resist because we think too highly of ourselves and too lowly of God.
Wow. So what I hear you saying is really that when we are looking for fairness, we're seeking to control a thing or a situation or a person. And when we look at God's justice, there's submission and humility and trust that's being exercised. Yeah, that's
a great way to sum it up, Pastor.
So to kind of make the connection, as we go through this sermon series, the text and title is Malachi, God's wake-up call. And Malachi is writing to an apathetic generation. So how can we build the bridge between guarding against apathy in light of God's love?
You know, I think the more familiar we become with anything, the greater the danger is of our becoming apathetic.
Okay.
You know, I just think that, you know, we can become apathetic about our work.
Sure.
Because we lose sight of what I'm doing, why I'm doing it, and what impact it's having. You know, I always like that illustration of the guy that, you know, he was a bricklayer, and they said, you know, so what are you doing? He said, I'm just laying bricks. And then they asked another guy, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a cathedral. Like, the one guy just was like,
sure.
He kind of got lost in the whole process of what he was doing. And he was just laying bricks, kind of apathetic in that sense.
Sure.
Where the other guy looked at the bigger picture and he was doing something that was significant.
Okay.
And so I think understanding, you know, all of that in our perspective, like, and refreshing our minds, I think that helps us to really steer away from that, because we just, you know, it's kind of like driving. I shouldn't probably say this, but I've driven home and don't remember anything about what I just did.
Sure.
And I don't think I'm having Alzheimer's. It's
right.
Early onset. I think it's just you do things.
So ingrained.
Yeah. And you just go through them. And so you kind of go through the motions. And I think that that's the danger of our faith, is especially once you start getting things down. Like, okay, I pretty much know what's in the Bible. I pretty much know how Christians are supposed to act and what they're supposed to talk like. And okay, and then we just go through the motions. And there's no real vitality in life that's to it. And so we just have to guard ourselves for that.
So the more that we grow in knowledge of who God is, that enhances our heart for him. Or a better way to put it is the Holy Spirit grows our heart for God as we grow in knowledge of who God is through Jesus Christ. Whereas if we stay in a place where we're not seeking that out, we can very easily go through the motions and therefore kind of stagnate or drive from point A to point B without realizing things in the middle.
I think there's a danger to that whole thing of growing in knowledge. And I know exactly what you're saying, and you're saying the exact right thing. I'm not exactly sure how to differentiate between storing knowledge and growing knowledge. Do you know what I'm saying?
Just amassing it versus implementing it.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, so there's got to be that, like, that excitement.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk to a new believer who's like really like excited about Jesus and sure. wants to know as much as they can.
Let me tell you what just happened. I want to dig in.
And like it just energizes you when you talk to them and you think, wait a minute, do I come across that way? Am I that excited?
Yeah.
And like to me, at least, that's what I know that, you know, I can remember times when I would walk by myself and look up at the stars and say, this just feels so great. Mm-hmm. I am so glad I have a relationship with Christ. And I don't want this to ever change. Mm-hmm. I don't want to ever become humdrum, dull. Because I knew too many Christians who were lukewarm. They just, there's no vitality about them. Mm-hmm. There was no excitement about Jesus. Mm-hmm. There was no, like, they knew how to pray. They knew how to do all the stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, you didn't really feel that energy, that excitement whenever you talked to them. And so I just knew that I never wanted to lose that. And I pray that that always stays vital and alive in me and that I never get to a point in place, you know, where I would just be going through the motions.
So I hear you saying that part of it is perhaps allowing ourselves to be reminded of where we were and what God has done for us. Because if we look at someone who's new to their relationship with Christ and has just begun that, there's this immediate transformation that's been experienced. And the further we get from that moment in time, without remembering that, it's easier to be apathetic. So wherever you're listening right now, think about what Christ has done for you and the love that he has shown you directly and specifically. And so if you feel that maybe you're in a place like the people that Malachi was writing to, this is an opportunity now to experience and even exercise, as Pastor Arley mentioned yesterday, to stop and write down the ways that God has illustrated directly his love for you. And that's what I hear you saying, Pastor Arley. And also something you mentioned is praying. Like you said, I pray that my heart never leaves that fire. Mm-hmm. And so really just surrendering and submitting to God and saying, God, I need you to guide this and foster this because it's not something I do on my own strength.
Yeah, because the nature of a fire is to always go out.
Yeah.
Unless you fuel the fire, it's not going to stay lit.
Right, yeah. So we've got to find ways to kindle that and grow in the self-discipline that God's put within our hearts. Yeah. So I would really wonder, Pastor Arley, because you, like, yesterday we started out by really digging into God's love. What would you say to the person who might be listening today who thinks that they're too far gone or unforgivable?
Well, obviously it's a lie that the enemy likes to really tell us and kind of whisper to us. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of that is really cured when we talk to someone else. Mm. So I think that, you know, when we have all these things inside our head that are like, they kind of defeat us and discourage us and destroy us. Mm-hmm. And so what we need to do is we need to share that with someone else. Mm-hmm. And then when we say, you know, I just feel like I'm too far gone. And then they would say, no, you're not. Mm. Because here's what God's word says.
Yeah.
And that's a lie that the enemy is trying to give you. So when we hear those words from other people, it kind of like sinks in deeper than just trying to tell ourselves.
Uh-huh.
Because the battle that happens inside our heads is always a difficult challenge.
Sure.
But when we can verbalize it, because the enemy loves to keep us in secret.
And
he loves to destroy us in our thought life and all of those things and throw up things to us that would discourage us and say, you're not what everybody thinks you are. And, you know, he would keep doing all those things where if we can actually verbalize them, we talk about them out loud. We get that affirmation, that direction, that all that encouragement, all that's needed to help us to say, no, you're right. And the next time that comes to me, here's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And so then we have a pathway and a pattern that we can use.
Yeah. So verbalizing those, it makes me think of just all these metaphors and truths that we're given in scripture that God is light and in him there's no darkness. So when we verbalize it, we are bringing it to God and bringing his light upon it.
Sure.
Bringing
it into
the light.
So that the
truth can then set us free.
Absolutely.
That's a powerful thing. So thank you for that direction. So to kind of wrap us up for today, what challenge do you have for our listeners as they go into this week?
One is that, as I talked about, the closing, how has God loved you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, keep that in your forefront of your thinking as we're walking through this whole series. And then continuing to say, how do I keep vitality in my daily walk?
Mm-hmm.
Because it happens initially, but if we're not careful, like we settle into mediocrity in our whole level of our devotional life and our prayer life, because basically we pray for a lot of the same things every day.
Sure.
I don't know about you, but
sure, yeah.
You know, we have kind of a list of things, and it changes a little bit by who's sick or who needs special prayer or whatever. But there's a lot of those that are the same. And so how do we make sure we keep vitality in that prayer life? How do we make sure when I read the Bible that I say, well, I've kind of already read this before. How do I get new life into it? So all of those things, I think, are challenges. The longer we follow God and the longer we serve him, I think the challenge before us is to not let it become humdrum. So I guess that's what I'm encouraging people to really keep thinking as we walk through this. How do I keep vitality in my daily walk?
Great. So if you're listening and if you're driving, don't do this while you're driving. Stop, pull over. But wherever you're at right now, we would just encourage you to pause this and think about in a time of meditation, just focusing on God's love for you and how he's displayed that to you specifically, and write it down. Let it be a moment to really externalize or verbalize or put into print what God has shown to you in his love for you. And let that be something that you carry with you throughout this sermon series as we go throughout God's love for us and talk about Malachi's message to an apathetic generation. So thank you so much, Pastor Arlie, for talking with us about the kickoff to Who Cares? Malachi, God's Wake-Up Call.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you for jumping in with us here on Dive Deep. Our heart is that you're challenged and encouraged to grow in your faith by what you've heard here. And we want to encourage you to check back next Monday for our next episode, where we're going to continue the conversation working through Who Cares? Malachi, God's Wake-Up Call. Connect with us throughout the week by checking out CWC Life on Facebook, and be sure to visit our website, cwc.life, where you can find more messages so that you can dive deep.